Well, we are continuing to walk through the Sermon on the Mount. And I've got to warn you about something for the next few weeks, because Jesus is going to deal with some difficult topics. And one of the things that I think about the Sermon on the Mount is that instead of taking Jesus at what he says to us, what we like to do is we like to explain it away. Well, perhaps Jesus didn't mean it the way that he said it. Perhaps we need to interpret it a different way. Or when we get to our worst, sometimes we say, perhaps that just doesn't apply to me. So my hope and my prayer is that as we walk through these sections of the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus talks to us about adultery, divorce, vows, revenge, love for enemies, and especially today as we talk about anger, that we would really pay attention to what Jesus is saying. I have a real sense that Jesus did not speak these words thinking that we would try to explain them away. I really think that Jesus taught us these words so that we could live the lives that he wants us to live. Our scripture today comes to us from Matthew chapter 5. We'll begin reading with verse 21 and read down through verse 26. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along today. And if you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read Jesus' teaching about anger. You've heard that our ancestors were told, "You must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I tell you, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will then hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the wonderful way that you have touched us already in this worship service and the way that your Holy Spirit has moved among us. And we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us in the next few minutes. I pray, Lord, that my words might be your words, and I pray, Lord, that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And Lord, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts. Help us to hear the teachings of Jesus with fresh hearts. Help us to realize that this is more for us than just information, but indeed the words of the Scripture are there for our transformation. And we pray today that by the power of your Spirit, we might be transformed by your words. All this we ask, not because of our own sake, but for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we offer this prayer this morning, saying amen. Well, no doubt each and every one of you are aware of the fact that the school board in this county and the county commission have been at odds with each other, and that school has not started as a result. And there are strong opinions and strong arguments on both sides, and that's not what I want to talk to you about today. I just think there's probably blame enough to be laid everywhere at this point. But I want to share with you something that happened to me last Sunday night. I brought my son Noah here to youth, and I had gone up to Kroger to pick up a few things, and I ran into a friend of mine who happens to be one of the county commissioners. And as we were talking, I said, "Well, so what's going to happen tomorrow night, Monday night, at the county commission meeting?" He said, "Mike," he said, "you won't believe," he said, "I've gotten over 500 emails, And he said, my phone has not stopped ringing from people on both sides of this issue. But he said, the thing that bothers me the most, the thing that upsets me the most about this, is that I hope that there are deputies there tomorrow night, because there are people who have called me and cursed me. There are people who have called me and threatened me. There are people who have called me and basically said, if you don't vote the right way, I'm coming after you. And I thought to myself, what have we come to? What have we come to? Because you see, today Jesus talks to us very clearly about anger. And it's interesting how Jesus frames this conversation, because he starts it out with, you've heard it said, the ancestors said before me, you shall not murder. And you see, with every piece of the next few passages of the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to look at, Jesus says, you know, you've heard it said this way, but if you're going to be my disciple, I say to you, that's not enough. Because you see, Jesus understood that it was not just about not committing murder, but it was what was happening in your heart and your mind along the way that was important. And that's what you and I have to pay attention to and guard against. It's fascinating the way Jesus frames this discussion. You've heard it said that you shall do no murder, but I tell you, when you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. If you call someone an idiot, you are wrong, Jesus says. You are wrong. And I don't know what has happened to us that we have forgotten basic civility. I read a couple of weeks ago that the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, was the first person to put into writing in the English language the phrase, agree to disagree. Because there were many theological debates and other debates that were going on in his time that people were at odds about. Christian people, church folks, Jesus followers were at odds with each other. And their tempers got high. And John Wesley said this fascinating thing. Even though we cannot think alike, can we not love alike? Isn't that what is more important? Not that we think alike, we're not always going to think alike, but can we not love alike? Because you see, I think that we've forgotten that anger works a lot like a ladder. And I just happen to have a ladder with me today. And it happens to be an ugly ladder, which proves the point that anger is ugly too. But you know, I think what Jesus was trying to say to us was, you know, murder is probably somewhere up here on the ladder of anger. But once we decide that we are angry, we put our first step on this, because we're climbing up to a pedestal with whoever or whatever we're angry about. And then we might say, you idiot, you fool, and we've climbed up again. And then all of a sudden we might get to the point where our anger is just white hot. And pretty soon we're up on our pedestal, because we believe that we're justified. And that we can be up here because we're angry. And by golly, you should come up here and say that you're sorry to me. But the problem is that should someone else try to climb up upon this pedestal, we likely would both fall. And there's certainly no way that I could safely turn around. And Jesus had a remedy for this. When I was in Israel several years ago, it was probably a several-hour bus ride for us to get from Jerusalem to Galilee. The Sermon on the Mount was given in Galilee, and really, in those days, because there were not buses and there was not public transportation, an easy way, roads from Jerusalem to Galilee, it was a 3 days journey. So as Jesus continues to teach people about anger, he says this: if you are going to the altar, which everyone knew was in Jerusalem. Now understand, they're in Galilee, and this is in Jerusalem. And when they went to the temple, it was a three-day journey. On that journey, to make the sacrifice, somewhere along the way, they would have to buy the animal that they were going to sacrifice. So Jesus says, if you find yourself at the altar about to make your sacrifice, so you've made a 3 days journey, you've got the animal, you're right there, you're about to make the sacrifice, and Jesus says, if you find out that someone has something against you, if you remember that you have an enemy, or that you're angry, or that you have someone who has something against you, then what you need to do is drop everything, take the 3 day journey back to Galilee, make it right with that person, and then come back and bring your sacrifice. I think the point that Jesus was trying to make was, this is important, how we treat each other. Because you see, we've forgotten that it's important how we treat each other, and we've allowed ourselves to be dragged to this place where we can't have a civil conversation about almost anything without calling each other names. And brothers and sisters, if there's anything that breaks Jesus' heart more than this, I don't know what it is. And in the days that I was a manager for a Kroger grocery store, one of the things that they always taught us was that if a customer had a complaint or had a problem, try to take care of that at the lowest level. In other words, what you didn't want was you didn't want somebody to come up to a clerk with a problem and that clerk say, well, I have to go find the supervisor. The supervisor has to find the other supervisor, who has to find the manager, who has to look it up in a manual to solve the problem. Because by the time you get to that point, it's too late. And I think the last words that Jesus says in this passage about the responsibility of handling a problem that we have with what he termed as an adversary, someone with whom we have a disagreement, no matter how bitter that is, someone we're angry with, is that you take care of that yourself. Because if it drags on and drags on and drags on, you and I are the ones that will suffer. We are the ones who will suffer. And you see, as we stand up on our pedestals, as we think about our own anger, as we think about how justified we are for being angry, we don't realize how ridiculous we look up here. And the only way, Jesus says, to take care of this is to step down. And to step down again. And to step down again. And to put the stinking ladder away. To put it away. You see, we don't take Jesus seriously when he says things like this to us, because we say, Jesus, good grief. And can you imagine the people of Galilee who heard this? You got to be kidding me. I'm starving to death, hand to mouth. I finally get a way to get some sort of animal and get to the altar in Jerusalem, and you want me to turn around and go back? And Jesus said, exactly. Because what's most important is making peace. What's most important is the relationship. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about rules and relationships. Lightness and heaviness, and Jesus always placed heaviness on the relationship. Jesus really would have appreciated what the writer of the book of 1 John said, if you cannot love your brothers and sisters whom you have seen, whom you are next to all the time, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? It doesn't work. It can't work. And I think the only way there is going to be a reduction in the anger, in the cursing, in the name calling, in this whole thing is when you and I begin to say to each other, this starts with me. This starts with me. I have to be the one who does not curse somebody. I have to be the one who goes and makes peace with somebody. I have to be the one not to give in to my anger. I have to be the one not to climb up on the ladder. And if I find myself up on the ladder, then it's my responsibility to back down and to go seek out the person that I'm angry with and to make peace. And to make peace. Because I believe Jesus not only meant what he said in these words, I believe that Jesus lived these words. Because you remember when Jesus was crucified? It was unjust. It was wrong. It was horrifying. And Jesus had every right to have his arms stretched out on the cross and scream and curse at the Roman soldiers and the people who had gotten him to this point. But do you remember? Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You see, Jesus refused to give in to anger. He refused to give in to hate. He refused to give in to what is sometimes the most base and hateful of all human emotions. And Jesus instead took all the anger upon himself so that we might be delivered from that. The only way that we can change the way things are is when we decide to heed Jesus' words and not to water them down. Not to say, well, I know Jesus said that, but he wasn't talking to me. He wasn't talking to Potts when he said, you know, my anger's justified. No, the only way that we are going to make a difference in this world that we live in, even in our own county, when we have conflicts among each other, whatever they are, is when we say, let there be peace on earth. You know, that's a wonderful saying. We're used to hearing that at Christmas, aren't we? Let there be peace on earth. Let there be peace on earth. Let there be peace on earth. You know, John Lennon, a musician, member of the Beatles, thought that, you know, just give peace a chance, he said. And that's almost as naive as us saying, let there be peace on earth, unless we finish the thought, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Let it begin in my home. Let it begin with the way that I treat other people. And let me remind myself that Jesus said, before you go worshiping God, before you bring your sacrifice to the altar, make sure you're at peace with each other. Make sure you're not giving into anger or hatred. Make sure, because peace begins with the person that you shave with or the person that you put makeup on in the morning. That's where peace begins. And oh, brothers and sisters, I believe it breaks Jesus' heart when we curse at each other, when we call each other names, when we refuse to take seriously what he said and not give in to anger and not live in peace. And it all starts with us. Amen.